The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. On June 28th, the Irish Parliament discussed the implementation of its national drugs strategy. We're going to hear statements from a couple of members of the Dáil Éireann that were delivered on the floor of the Dáil in just a moment. First, on June 20th, the U.S. House discussed a piece of legislation, H.R. 6082. It's called the Overdose Prevention and Patient Safety Act. That title is a lie. What this bill does is remove privacy protections from people who have been diagnosed with a substance use disorder. On the floor of the House on June 20th, there was a debate on this. One of the speakers was Frank Pallone, Democrat from New Jersey. Let's give a listen.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to H.R. 6082, the Overdose Prevention and Patient Safety Act. This legislation would greatly harm our efforts to combat the opioid epidemic. If we really want to turn the tide on this crisis, we must find ways to get more people into treatment for opioid use disorder. In 2016, there were about 21 million Americans aged 12 or older in need of substance use disorder treatment, but only 4 million of those 12 actually received treatment. That means 17 million people are going without the treatment they need. And failure to get individuals with opioid use disorder into treatment increases risks of fatal and non-fatal overdoses as people continue to seek out illicit opioids as part of their addiction. The increasing presence of fentanyl in our drug supply only heightens this concern. Strategies that increase the number of people getting into and remaining in treatment are particularly important because, as these treatment statistics show, major challenges exist to getting people with substance use disorders to enter treatment in the first place. And this House should not, and I stress should not, take any action that puts at risk people seeking treatment for any substance use disorder, but particularly opioid use disorders. Unfortunately, this bill risks doing just that, reducing the number of people willing to come forward and remain in treatment because they worry about the negative consequences that seeking treatment can have on their lives. And this is a very real concern. This bill weakens privacy protections that must be in place for some people to feel comfortable about starting treatment for their substance use disorder. Ensuring strong privacy protections is critical to maintaining an individual's trust in the healthcare system and a willingness to obtain needed health services. And these protections are especially important where very sensitive information is concerned. The information that may be included in the treatment records of a substance use disorder patient are particularly sensitive because disclosure of substance use disorder information can create tangible vulnerabilities that are not the same as other medical conditions. And for example, you are not incarcerated for having a heart attack. You cannot legally be fired for having cancer. And you are not denied visitation to your children due to sleep apnea. According to SAMHSA, the negative consequences that can result from disclosure of an individual's substance use disorder treatment record can include loss of employment, loss of housing, loss of child custody, discrimination by medical professionals and insurers, arrest, prosecution, and incarceration. These are real risks that keep people from getting treatment in the first place. And while I understand that the rollback of the existing privacy protections to the HIPAA standard would limit permissible disclosures without patient consent to healthcare organizations, this ignores the reality. It may be illegal for information to be disclosed outside these healthcare organizations, but we know, Mr. Speaker, that information does get out. Breaches do happen. Remember the recent large-scale Aetna breach that disclosed some of its members' HIV status. But there are also small-scale breaches that don't make the news but can have devastating consequences for patients trying to recover and get treatment. For example, a recent ProPublica investigation detailed instances where a healthcare organization's employee peeked at the record of a patient 61 times and posted details on Facebook while another improperly shared a patient's health information with the patient's parole officer. Breaches such as this are very concerning and could occur more often as a result of this legislation. While I appreciate the sponsor's efforts to alleviate these concerns, I do not believe the potential harm that could be caused by eliminating the patient consent requirement under existing law for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations can be remedied through the measures included in this bill. The inclusions of these provisions cannot compensate for the risk of stigma, discrimination, and negative health and life outcomes for individuals with opioid use disorder that could result from the weakening of the existing privacy protections. And that's why every substance use disorder patient group has come out in opposition to this bill. According to the Campaign to Protect Patient Privacy Rights, a coalition of more than 100 organizations, and I'm quoting now, using the weaker HIPAA privacy rule standard of allowing disclosure of substance use disorder information without patient consent for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations will contribute to the existing level of discrimination and harm to people living with substance use disorders, unquote. The campaign goes on to say, and again I quote, this will only result in more people who need substance use disorder treatment being discouraged and afraid to seek the health care they need during the nation's worst opioid crisis. And this is a risk we simply should not take. And yet the majority is bringing this bill to the floor just today, despite the very real concerns of these experts. And these groups uniquely understand what's at stake from this legislation, because many of their members live with or are in fear of the negative consequences that result from the disclosure of substance use disorder diagnosis and treatment information.
That was Frank Pallone, New Jersey Democrat, speaking in opposition to H.R. 6082, which has been mistitled the Overdose Prevention and Patient Safety Act. Again, that title is a lie. What this bill really does is take away privacy protections from people who have received a diagnosis of a substance use disorder. H.R. 6082. Unfortunately, this thing has already passed the House and has been assigned to committee in the Senate. You are listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The National Drug Strategy for Ireland was introduced on June 28th. They had a discussion in their lower house of the Oireachtas. We're going to listen now to portions of that debate. The first person we're going to hear from is Alan Kelly. Alan will be followed by Gino Kenny.
The new drug strategy, we shouldn't be debating this a year later. It's kind of crazy. There's so much talk about need to address this issue and we're debating strategy a year later. I think, you know, we talk a lot about new politics, but this is an example of where it's not working. It's rightly called Reducing Harm, Support and Recovery. And I welcome the shift in tone towards caring for people who suffer from addiction, which is an illness. And therefore, it makes sense to take a health-led approach to drugs use. We must not underestimate the scale of the challenge. Cases of people in treatment for drug addiction have gone up steadily since 2007. Back then, there were 5,259 people in treatment for addiction, not including alcohol. In 2015, this figure was 9,710. That's an 84% increase. The number of new cases each year has also gone up from 2,431 cases in 2007 to 3,650 cases in 2015, an increase of 50%. And these, Minister, are just the people in treatment. We know that many more people are affected by addiction, but they're not included in these numbers. Some because they don't want to admit it. They don't want to make it public. They don't want to show the impact drugs has had on them. Others, because the state actually doesn't offer many services. So these figures are way higher. And the issue in relation to these figures is that the service provision that is there is not there at the same level. I say this as a Tipperary deputy outside of Dublin or maybe one or two other main urban areas. I welcome in particular that the Department of Health engaged in a much more comprehensive consultation process this time around regarding this strategy. It is important that the department continues to engage in serious listening exercises because the whole area of drugs use has changed and it's affecting people across Ireland in different ways now. The department needs to continue to listen to how addiction is affecting communities and families across Ireland, because this isn't a problem that is just isolated in one period of time. It's iterative and continuing. We used to see the drugs issue as something concentrated in urban areas where there was a concentration of social housing. Now the drugs issue is nationwide. Proportionately, villages and rural areas may even be more affected by addiction than some urban areas. Not sure if anyone has said that before in this house. Some villages in rural counties probably have a higher percentage of drug abuse than actually inner city Dublin. Smaller sample, but bigger problem proportionately. But the state is nowhere near the level of service provision required to tackle the addiction issue. The new strategy will need to be backed up by serious investments in services if even half of the intended actions are going to be implemented. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking. Ireland's level of opioid addiction, heroin amongst other substances, is much higher than other Western European countries. Opioid addiction affects 7 in every 1,000 people here, compared to 4 in every 1,000 across Europe. Most of the state's infrastructure for dealing with drug addiction is focused on opioids since the heroin epidemic of the 80s. But in addition to that serious problem, the situation on the ground has moved on. Cocaine and crack cocaine are prevalent and highly addictive. We have few detox and rehab options for people. Amphetamines, cannabis and ecstasy are all widely used. There also continues to be abuse of solvents. And people are becoming addicted to sedatives or tranquilizers, which they may or may not have acquired in prescription. Drug dealing has changed too, with people ordering drugs online through so-called dark web websites and even getting drugs through the post. This kind of thing has spread addiction to every corner of Ireland, every village of Ireland. Drug addiction risks getting totally out of control unless the government puts in the necessary resources to get a grip on the issue. There is obviously a divide between legal and illegal drugs in this mix. And we must mention that tobacco and alcohol, in terms of legal drugs, are also addictions. One of the actions under the national strategy is for the consultation on potential decriminalisation of the personal possession of illegal drugs. The consultation is currently ongoing. And I understand that over 14,000 submissions from the public have been received to date. I welcome this. Because you know what? This is clear evidence, Minister, if any was needed, of the level of public interest and concern with the issue of drug misuse. There's a real opportunity here, Minister, and this is the most important point I want to make to you. There's a real opportunity for Ireland to take a new approach to the whole issue of addiction. And we don't always often to get spend much time in government or be ministers. But if there's one issue which you have an opportunity on, it is this. For example, countries like Portugal have achieved a major reduction in the use of opioids and much fewer drug-related deaths because they changed strategy. However, I think there is something wrong with the focus on what substances should be legal or illegal only. That's not the real issue. The real issue is how we treat people who have an addiction. My party's proposal is that we should decriminalise the person who is addicted to drugs. Decriminalise the person. It should not be a criminal offence to be in possession of a small amount of soft drugs when you are personally addicted to them. Fear of a criminal record should never stop a person from seeking the medical help that they need. The vicious drugs gangs involved in drug dealing, of course, need to remain outside the law. Garda resources, though, could then be freed up to deal with them, rather than at present where Garda time is taken up with minor cases where people who are addicted to drugs are found in possession of small quantities. If we make clear that possession of drugs by addicts will not be a criminal offence, we can focus on getting people into treatment for addiction. In Portugal, people are offered the choice of medical and social supports instead of getting a criminal record and facing a judicial sentence and something that will hang over them for the rest of their lives. This is an option we should be discussing here in Ireland. But it won't work if there aren't the services put in place to help people deal with addiction. And a wide range of services are needed to deal with different types of drug addiction and different groups of people. For example, different services are needed for long-term heroin users compared to services for young people. The real test of the National Drug Strategy will be whether or not the government is ready to put the serious resources into frontline services that actually help people to escape from addiction and move forward with their lives. Massive cuts were implemented in services since 2008, and none of that funding has been returned proportionately. Staff working in drug services have had their pay cut and frozen, and because they are in the community and voluntary sector, funded through Section 39, and we all know about that, they are not getting the pay restoration that public servants are getting in the HSE. Rent costs and insurance have gone up, and many of these services are on their knees. While at the same time, and as I said at the outset, the amount of people presenting to services with drug addiction problems has grown enormously. Just decriminalising substances in the absence of funding for addiction services would be a dereliction of duty by you and this government. It would actually lead to anarchy. There is a need for the creation of proper working conditions for those who provide addiction services. They need proper working conditions like you and I and everyone else, and some standardisation across addiction workers to ensure minimum quality standards. That would involve a lot of training and the development of additional practitioners. But it would also have to include pay grades and career opportunities equivalent to what is enjoyed in the HSE. And that simply does not exist at the moment. And it's part of the problem when it comes to the provision of services, Minister, because we can't get the people. A final point. The new national drug strategy is going to be health-led, but the HSE is not in a position to lead on this topic. They are not in a position. We need to think outside the box, Minister, because if we just throw it in as part of the mix of what the HSE are meant to be doing, we'll still be here. We'll have a nice shiny document, but we won't have an implementation. So we need to think outside of this, create a different format, create a different pathway for dealing with this issue. So there are clear political challenges to do with drug addiction that need clear political leadership, which returns me to my point. We don't always get to sit there for very long. And this is your opportunity. And in fairness, I know you have a passion for this issue. So please try and deal with it. So you need to deal with this issue. You need to put the money up the money in terms of the development of addiction services, put in place the right format, put in place the right organisation, and ensure that it's nationwide and not just in Dublin. And one final point, Minister, is relating to services in prisons. I have reason to believe that these services across many of the prisons are simply absolutely not working. The number of prisoners who are addicted to drugs and are not being provided with the services needed, I believe, is going to be a big issue that's going to blow up in this country. And I also believe that many of the people working in the prison services are being treated appallingly, where they have to actually go and deal with prisoners in this situation, but yet the backup services aren't there. And furthermore, when they actually find people in possession of drugs, sometimes it's actually those who find them who feel that they are nearly the ones who are getting more in trouble than those who are actually bringing them in or carrying them inside in the prison service. The whole issue of drugs in prisons and the prison service and the workers and how people are being treated and the lack of services is something that has been left behind and is going to blow up in our faces. Thank you.
That was Deputy Alan Kelly, now Deputy Gino Kenny.
I too want to add to the debate and the frustration that, I mean, this debate has been going on for years, but it seems to be stalled and it seems to be doing a lot of talking, but no action. But we are talking about, obviously, the kind of debate at the moment, and it's glad to see that 14,000 submissions have been received so far through the public consultation. I look forward by the group being completed by October, Minister, and hopefully the recommendation can consider some of the issues, particularly around personal drug use, which is critical to what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. I also want to say, mention the critical roles of community drug projects, local drug task force, to continue to deliver a fantastic kind of service in their communities, even though they've been have been subjected to serious cuts over the last 7-8 years, where 37% of their cuts have seen dramatic changes to what they can actually give to the community. And I've seen in my own eyes in Clondalkin what it has done. Just from the outset, Minister, You know, the strategy of criminalising people for drug use has been an abject failure. And I know there's kind of a catchword that the war on drugs has been a failure. It has been an abject failure. It just doesn't work. It has failed. It's failed communities. And, you know, it's failed systems, it's failed judicial systems, and it just doesn't work. So you obviously have to look at a radical approach to drug use and what that entails. Because whether we like it or not, people will continue to use drugs. They've used drugs generations ago, and they'll probably use generations to come. Do we criminalise them? No, we shouldn't. They shouldn't go through a criminal justice system if for personal use, because that system has failed. From the community I'm from, I've seen drugs and the abuse of drugs ravage not only friends of mine, family members, whole communities, literally destroyed. Destroyed. And what that does to people's mindset, it's a cancer almost in communities. And I think, you know, words can't, you know, articulate what drugs does and what they actually leave people behind, and young people that were never born into addiction. Nobody's born a heroin addict, but sometimes addiction chooses them. And once, you know, heroin gets a hold of you, you know, it's a very, 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 very difficult drug to get away from. But some people do, some people don't. I know friends of mine have passed away. I know people that have gone away from addiction and have done really well. They have children and have good jobs and so forth. But sometimes, you know, drugs, whether we like it, it takes hold of people. And I think what drugs does, Minister, I don't know if you'll agree with me this, but I mean, I hear this all the time about the debate on drugs, that cannabis is a gateway to harder drugs. Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. What is a gateway to heroin and crack and all the drugs that bring misery is alienation and poverty. So I think this argument that softer drugs lead on to hard drugs, yes, people that have, say, chronic heroin problems, they probably did smoke hash, but it just doesn't lead on to harder drugs, because I know many people that smoke cannabis and they will never touch heroin or crack or cocaine and so forth. So we need a radical approach to that. And also, decriminalisation, you know, it's as the last deputy said, it decriminalises the person rather than the drugs. And I think that's very, very, very important. I think one model that we speak about is Portugal. In 2001, they decriminalised drugs for personal use. So if a person has that particular drug on them, they don't go through the criminal justice system. They're given counselling or health-led products, which is harm reduction. And even in this state, Minister, last year, 80% of drug-related offences are for personal use. So that runs into probably 10,000 people have gone through the criminal justice system for personal use. Now, that is a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of time for the criminal justice system, for the police, and even the police will actually say this. You know, the police are in the front line of, you know, the war on drugs. And they'll even say it's failing them, it's failing civic society, and we need a new approach. And I think decriminalisation is one approach to that. And also, people that are found in possession for personal drug use, if they get a criminal record, that has a profound effect on their future job prospects. And I know people that have 10, 15 years ago that were found for a small amount of cannabis, and they still have a drug offence. And, you know, that leads on to... it's a ridiculous situation. Absolutely ridiculous situation. I remember going to a festival 15 years ago, and, you know, the undercover police were looking for people for small possessions of cannabis and arresting them. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, we've moved on. I think civic society has moved on, that we can't criminalise people, particularly for cannabis use, because that's a complete waste of time. So, Minister, I think... the more profound effects, I think decriminalisation is inevitable to come into this country. It's inevitable. And I think another issue, which I like to kind of, is the Misuse of Drug Acts, 1977. I think, You've got to look at the whole range of that act. I think you need to reschedule cannabis. I think cannabis as a Schedule 1 drug that has no medical or recreation use is ridiculous. For example, Minister, which is probably going to shock you a little bit, this year, the Minister for Health granted a licence for medical cannabis. One of them licences was the raw form of cannabis, meaning that that person was granted a licence for a bag of grass. That's fact. That's fact. So the Minister for Health, which I'm glad he done it, he has granted a person at this state for medical use, proving that that particular drug helps that person for their medical benefit. So you have a ridiculous situation where it's a Schedule 1 drug, while the Minister for Health, he kind of gives a licence for that plant and that drug. And just the last thing, Minister, I think, more controversially, at the moment in this country, all illicit drugs are controlled by criminal individuals or criminal gangs. Them individuals do extremely well out of selling drugs. Very, very well. Big cars, holidays, and so forth. Now, there's going to come a time, I don't know, it's a very nuanced argument, where we're going to have to look at the war on drugs has been a failure. I think society has got to look now at ways of taking it out of the hands of criminal gangs and criminal individuals and take that back. It's not a panacea by any means. It's a difficult situation, but we got to take it out of the hands of illicit gangs, because illicit gangs are unregulated. They don't care what they actually sell. They give it, children will take it. They die, individuals, communities are destroyed. We got to look at, legalisation of some drugs. Now, that is an argument that some people in this country will find it very, very difficult to do. It's a very nuanced argument, but I think the cannabis should be rescheduled, and then we got to look at even a more radical approach than decriminalisation. Because my starting point and finishing point, is this going to save somebody's life? Can this save somebody's life? And if it can, then it's worth, approaching, and it's worth looking at. Because at the moment, hundreds of people die of overdose, opiate use, and are affected by drugs. If we can cut that down, by half, by any means, if we can save one life by decriminalisation, regulation, legalisation as well, by some drugs, I think then we can have a different approach to this issue. Because at the moment, we are losing the war on drugs. It shouldn't be a war, because it's a war on people. So, Minister, if you can comment on that, particularly about the repealing of the Drug Act of 1977. Thanks.
That was Gino Kenny, a deputy in the Irish Parliament. He was preceded by Alan Kelly, also a deputy. Both serve in the Dáil Éireann. They were discussing the Irish National Drugs Strategy. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network. On the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The Drug Truth Network has a Facebook page. Please give it a like. Drug War Facts has a Facebook page, too. Give it a like and share it with friends. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.